All right, so we're going to get into the message today. Natzavim. And as I'm reading the message today, I asked, the questions came up to me in my mind, in my spirit. Who is this atonement and who is this Torah for? They're standing at that mount. And who is Adonai speaking to? Really, what it comes down to, who is the covenant to? Who was it made to? Who was it made for? You know, they're two simple questions, but they can become very complicated as you start thinking about them, as the world starts intervening in them. And they're really kind of similar, who for when, because it's a who and a when. A who and a when was Adonai speaking to? Who gets covered? Read the covenant at Mount Sinai, and they believe that it's just the Jewish people, but is it more than just the Jewish people? They believe that it was just for the people who were there at the time, but is it more than just the people who were there at the time? It seems like just a couple of easy questions. But especially for those who are walking around in the world, these can be very complicated questions. Because for the Jewish person, they're looking to see, you know, this covenant that's made, how is it supposed to be fulfilled? What does it mean to me? Does Messiah answer the question of the covenant? Will that make it complete for me? That's a hard question for a Jewish person. For a Gentile, they see the covenant at Mount Sinai and they say, was this for me? Wasn't he talking to the Jewish people? Am I covered under the covenant? Does anything of the old covenant really cover me? That seems to be a question that's asked quite often. Two easy questions that become very complicated. Could even be for people who are sitting here today or people who are listening today, whenever they're listening to it. Maybe they just take it by faith. Maybe you're just taking it by faith. The covenant's for me. They don't really understand why the covenant's for them. Maybe it's that internal struggle that's going on to understand whether they're really included in this covenant. As a Gentile, you can feel excluded of the promise and the promised land. For a Jewish person, they feel excluded because of the timing. You know, it's for them. It's not now. And quite frankly, that's a question that both Jew and Gentile ask. What about the timing? Was it then, or was it, or is it now, or was it both? That's a tough question. We hear that quite frequently from both Jew and Gentile. And when I was starting to look up the scriptures that I wanted to use today, and I have in my mind, okay, I want to go, Spirit's telling me to speak about who and when. And as I'm looking up the scriptures, they're really intermixing. They're kind of the same scriptures answer the both questions at the same time. And you're going to see what I mean by that as I go along. You might be saying, well, that answers that one and that one. So let's start off. Who is covered by this covenant? Being made by Adonai through Moses. First, it was made at Mount Sinai, and then Moses repeats it just before they go into the promised land. And another way of saying this is, who did he make the covenant with? So let's read who Moses is addressing. At the very start of the portion today, Deuteronomy 29:9 in the Hebrew, 29:10 in the English versions of Scripture. It says, you are standing here today, all of you, before Adonai your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your wives, and the outsider within your camp, from your woodchopper to your water carrier. each of you is to cross over into the covenant of Adonai your God that he is cutting with you today into his oath. So, we get this whole list of types or whole categories of people that Moses is giving this covenant to. Adonai is giving this covenant to through Moses. It seems like he starts at the top and works down of the social ladder that's Israel. And it's very plain right away. It says it includes the women and children. But you know what? For centuries, that's been a struggle too. Were the women really included? Because, you know, when you read scripture, it speaks to the men very plainly. Does this microphone keep going in and out, or is it just me? It's just me. I'm still having trouble with English. This time I'm having trouble hearing it. So, for centuries, people have been looking at it and saying, look, it only addresses the men. But it's not just the men, I would say. It really addresses both. And here's an example. So, but people have been saying only for men. Because here, let's look at Exodus 19:14. This is when they were at the mount right before the word is given. And then Moses went down from the mountain to the people, consecrate them, and then they washed their clothes. Then Moses went down from the mountain to the people, consecrated them, and then they washed their clothing. He said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not draw near to your wives. How many people point to that and say, aha, you see, it's only the men. Don't draw near to your wives. Now, some translations, like the New Living Translation or the NIV, says abstain from having sexual intercourse. But most versions, they make it clear that it was the men who were to abstain from relations to get ready to meet with Adonai. It seems to be a biased view that many have for centuries. So let me ask a question. Could it be that it says that men were not to draw close to women or wives because that would mean that no one was to come together? If you tell the men to stay away from the women, it kind of includes everyone. Because per scripture, relations were only to be between a man and a woman, and it really should be when they're married. This means it would have included women as well. Because who are the women going to have relationships with, if not the men? At least in Adonai's eyes. So, in reality, you say, well, it only said to the men, but it really meant to everybody. It was the men and the women who were included. And then, at the end of the list, after including all the people born of Israel, all the people who came out of Egypt, he then includes the outsiders, whom he describes as woodchoppers and water carriers. With this classification of calling out the woodchoppers and water carriers, he's not addressing those who came out of Egypt, because even the Gentiles who came out of Egypt were to be equals. They were not the woodcutters. They were not the water carriers. Because these things, woodcutting and water carrying, were not things that non-servants would do. It would only be the servants who were cutting the wood. It would only be the servants who were carrying the water. It was not fit for anyone who was not a servant. The people who came out of Egypt were already considered equals in Adonai's eyes. So Moses wasn't speaking about the Gentiles, but he was speaking about the Gentile who were obtained through war, the Gentiles who they were acquiring and becoming servants to them. That's who he's speaking about. So it's the Jew and the Gentile that he's giving the covenant to there. That goes back to the question, who was at the mountain? Now in Deuteronomy 29, and I'm sorry, I didn't put this one on a slide for this portion here, so don't worry about it back in the sound booth. In Deuteronomy 29, it says, I make this covenant with its sanctions, not with you alone, but both with those who are standing here with us this day before God, and with those who are not here with us here this day. That's Deuteronomy 29, 13 and 14. The question is, what does the word here mean? Who was there with them? Now the word, the Hebrew word for here with us is yesh. The same word is used in Genesis 39, 5 when talking about Joseph and what was given to him to supervise in Potiphar's house. One of the ways of knowing what a word means is to see how it's used in other places. So we're looking at Genesis 39, 5 to see what was given to Joseph to supervise over Potiphar's house. Now Genesis 39, 5 says, from the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over everything that belonged to him, Adonai blessed the Egyptian house because of Joseph. Adonai's blessing was on everything that belonged to him in the house and in the field. So he released everything he owned into Joseph's hand. With him in charge, he did not think about anything except the food he ate. The word used in verse 5, for all that he had, is the same word, yesh. Potiphar is not giving Joseph just what he had on that day, but he was giving him everything he was going to get in the future as well. So we see the word yesh meaning not just what was there today, but we have another example just like that. That it's not just the current, but the future that it refers to. And that is in Ruth. In Ruth 1:12, when Ruth is telling the brother-in-laws, go back. I'm not going to have any more kids for you to marry. I don't have anybody else. This is what Naomi says to Ruth. Go home, my daughters. I am too old to have a husband. Even if I were to say that there was hope for me and I could get married tonight and then bore sons, would you wait for them to grow up? Would you therefore hold off getting married? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you. For the hand of Adonai has gone against me. Naomi was saying, even if she got married right then, and even if I was to get married in the future, I wouldn't have sons for you. And if I did, would you want to wait 12 to 18 years, whatever it is, before they're old enough to get married? It's the same word that's used, yesh, to indicate that not any time, not today, not tomorrow, not forever, am I going to have children for you to marry. So we see at least two examples that the word yesh is used for not today, not tomorrow, but forever. So going back, it's the word that's used and said, who's here with me today? Now we go back to the portion in Deuteronomy 29. It says, we say, who is the covenant for? When Moses spoke the words of Adonai about who the covenant was for, he said this, Deuteronomy 29:13. Not with you alone am I cutting this covenant and this oath, but with whomever is standing here with us today before Adonai, your God, and with whomever is not here with us today. Now, we know, especially those of us who think Jewish, and I encourage you, whether you're Gentile or Jewish, think Jewish, especially when reading the scriptures, keep it in context, because that's what they were thinking then. When they said, whether you're here with us today or not, they were thinking generations. They were thinking the current generation. That was the thinking then. And then they were thinking current generation and future generations. Especially when you go back to the word Yesh. And you realize that although at one time they thought it was just their generation, it later became the generations to come. That doesn't mean that Adonai changed. It doesn't mean Adonai changed his mind. It just means the understanding of man changed. And that's okay, as long as the understanding of man continues to line up with Adonai. Because that's what was happening. Wasn't Adonai changing? Now let's look at the verse and expand that a little bit further. Because maybe he wasn't just thinking about generations. Maybe he was thinking about peoples as well. Because when it said, those who are here in front of the mountain, it was talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was standing before Adonai, was represented, both that generation and all generations afterwards of Jewish people were represented there before Adonai, there before the mountains. Adonai says he's making a covenant with those that are there as well as those who are not there. So who was not represented there? That would be the Gentiles. They were not represented. Yes, there were some Gentiles who came out of Egypt with them, but by then they were already considered to be, although Jewish, part of Israel. They're still Gentiles, but they were part of Israel already. So when God says, those who are here and those who are not here, I think we can take that to mean those who are the here, Israel, and those who are not here, the Gentile people. And I'll go a step further. It's not just the Jew and the Gentile who believe in Adonai, the Jew and the Gentile who now believe in Messiah Yeshua. It was the Jew and the Gentile who did not believe yet but would come into faith. And that's where a lot of people are today, right? How many of us can say, I was born in faith. As soon as I left my mother's womb, I believed. That's just not the truth. But praise Adonai, he takes the sinner, cleanses us, gives us knowledge of who he is, and then we become in front of the Mount Sinai. Then we become knowledgeable of his word. Then we become a part of the covenant. All men, meaning for all time, even if they understand or don't understand who the one true God is, at that moment. Therefore, it included all people. Everybody, Jew, Gentile, understanding of Messiah, not understanding of Messiah, understanding what the covenant meant, not understanding what the covenant meant, it covered everybody. So then, if everybody is included, then another question is to ask is, can everybody understand the covenant of Adonai? Am I supposed to be able to read scripture and understand what this means? Because, you know, that's a big question in Judaism. That's a big question in Judaism. You need a rabbi to tell you what it means. You need to know what this rabbi and this rabbi and this rabbi says that it means so that you can know what it means. And quite frankly, in the Catholic Church, they're not that far off either. They don't teach read scripture. I'm going to tell you what it means. That's a big thing in both Jew and Gentile worlds today. But here's what Adonai says about understanding the word. Deuteronomy 30, verse starting in verse 11. For this mitzvah that I am commanding you today, or these laws that I'm commanding you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who will go up to the heavens and get it for us, and have it and have us hear it so we may do it? Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross over for us to the other side of the sea and get it for us, and have us hear it so that we may do it? No, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. As I said earlier, Moses was speaking to everyone. He tells everyone that it is very close to them. In fact, it's in their mouth, it's in their heart. But also notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say it's in the mouth and in the heart of only Jewish people. It says of everyone. I think it was left very vague there for a very specific purpose. It was so everyone would be included. Adonai's word is inclusive of everybody. Everybody who reads his word can understand it. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, everything that you read in Scripture just, boom, all of a sudden you understand. Yeah, you still come together, you still share ideas, you still read commentaries, you still sit for messages. Thank you for sitting for this message. But through the Ruach HaKodesh, we get to understand it. That's who he supplied so that we can understand the word. Not only does Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14 say it's going to be close, but he says it's not too difficult. Torah and its messages are accessible and understandable. We don't really need someone else to interpret it. He gave his words in the covenant to all people. And in fact, it was the job of the early Jewish covenant keepers to shine the light to non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. And we still believe that today, too. Especially as Messianic Jewish people, we shine the light of Messiah Yeshua out into the world. But do you realize that early rabbinic Orthodox Jewish people, their purpose was to go out to speak the word of God to the non-Jew, to the Gentile. The Babylonian Talmud says the Jews were exiled from the Holy Land for a specific purpose of attracting proselytes or converts to Judaism when it says this: the Holy One, blessed be God, exiled Israel among the nations only in order to increase their numbers with the addition of proselytes. That's directly from the Talmud. The reason they were expelled from Israel was so that the word from Israel, the word from Adonai, would go forth to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would become a part of Adonai. We just don't think of it that way anymore. But that's what Messianic Judaism wants to be: the light to the world, the light to the lost, whether Jew or Gentile. That's who we want to be, the ones who go out and forth. Now, there's a Roman Catholic cardinal in Paris from 1981 to 2005 named Jean-Marie Lustiger. And this is what he said about himself, according to a New York Times article dated March 20th, 1983. Quote, I have always considered myself a Jew, even if that's not the opinion of some rabbis. Boy, does that sound messianic. Anyway, I've always considered myself a Jew, even if it's not the opinion of some rabbis. I was born Jewish, and so I remain, even if that's unacceptable for many. Wow, does that sound messianic? Anyway, for me, The vocation of Israel is bringing light to the Goyim. That's my hope, and I believe that Christianity is the means for achieving it. I think that in being a disciple of Christ, in my way, I enter into God's design, part of a promise made good. So as a Jewish man who became part of the Catholic Church, and he says his job, even as a cardinal, his job was to reach Jewish people. Now, as a Messianic rabbi, I would not think that the best way to reach Jewish people is to join the Catholic Church. Just my opinion. But we are called to be the light to the world. We are called to reach out and to teach the world, the Jewish people and the Gentile people, both who Adonai is and who their Messiah is. So although I would say, don't go out and join the Catholic Church in order to reach the Jewish people, I'd say listen to the words and understand that that is the job of the Jewish people, even today. Reach out and teach them of who their Messiah is. So now, wrapping up, who is under the covenant that Adonai is making with the children of Israel? Just as they are going into the promised land, Moses is repeating that covenant. Who's included? Well, perhaps the question is misleading because Adonai is not making the covenant with the children of Israel, but with all the people. So people frame that question, who is God speaking to when he tells the Jewish people, go into the promised land? Because he really was speaking to everybody. He really was including the Jew and the Gentile. He really was including the man, the woman, the free, the slave, everybody. Adonai's power is not limited to just saving one group of people. It saves everybody in every generation. And we as Messianic Jews are called to be his hands and feet. We're called to spread the good news, regardless of what we think of the people that we're giving it to. Regardless of where they're coming from. Oh, but look, they're in prison. They're sinners. Give them the good news. Let them be cleansed, and they may be sinners, but they're clean sinners who are going to be saved for all eternity. Oh, but look who that is. That's, you know, they're a Jewish person. They're the chosen ones. They don't need to be saved. No, they're sinners just like everyone else who need to be cleansed by the blood of Messiah Yeshua, the same blood that was spoken of in the Old Covenant, the same blood that was spoken of in Leviticus 17, the need, the requirement never changes. Blood is required in order to cleanse all people so they may come to Adonai. To say that the Jewish people have that highway that brings them right into the foot of the throne, that may be true. But it's true for everyone, because everyone gets to the foot of the throne and then gets judged. And everyone, because of God's righteousness, is judged the same way. And everyone needs to be cleansed the same way. It's through the blood of Messiah. It was the blood of goats. It was the blood of bulls before. It's always going to be blood. It's just not the blood of animals anymore. Now it's the blood, the perfect blood of Messiah Yeshua. That's our job, to go out and tell people that. That's who we are, who we're always been meant to be. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're speaking to someone who's Jew or Gentile, that's our job. The commission was to go out and tell the world. It didn't say go out and tell a specific group of people. We need to speak up and speak up to everyone. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you that you've told us who you are. We thank you that even looking into the scriptures, we can see that your promise at Mount Sinai, your promise is the people who are about to get into the land, were for everybody. For the Jew and the Gentile, for the free and for the slave, it does not matter. Your word is the word for all the world. Your salvation is the salvation for all the world. So we thank you that you've given us the privilege and honor of knowing you so that we may speak it to others. Give us appointed anointed times to speak your words. I ask that during these high holidays that are coming up, you would make appointments for anointments here in this congregation, that we would spread the word, that you would fill this place to hear. We ask for people who do not yet know you to come and be changed by your words. We ask that people who need your salvation, and who would that include? Who does not need it? There is no one who does not need it. So we ask that those who need your salvation would be drawn to your word. We ask for it here in the sanctuary. We ask for it there on the live stream. Father, we ask for magnificent things to happen. Salvation to all the world through Messiah Yeshua. And we ask that we be the ones that you use. And everyone said, amen and amen.